This is a replay of Wednesday night, February 1st on WGN Radio. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. As usual, I've got plenty on my mind, but I'll defer to you in a heartbeat. So 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. So last night we went over some of the costs associated with the Super Bowl, like average ticket price over $9,000. So it probably shouldn't come as a shock to me that hotel prices in Glendale, Arizona, a Phoenix suburb, are up for the Super Bowl week, to say the least. Yeah, Motel 6 is sold out, but if they weren't, they're the bottom line bargain basement here at $500 a night. Yes, in a Motel 6. And on average, it's about $1,500 a night. So, yeah, prices going up everywhere, right? And some people are complaining about the price of eggs. Well, that's right. There's a study that reveals what we're spending on entertainment in America. And we can take a look at that. But what's interesting, the key findings of this study is that most Americans plan to spend less in 2023 on restaurants, bars, clubs, their top spending category. 71% say inflation impacted their entertainment budget last year. And 3 out of 5 Americans surveyed said they were declining activities with friends or family members because it didn't fit into their budget. Yeah. It's interesting to see there were 13 different entertainment categories in the survey, such as in-person restaurants, bars, clubs, movie theaters, gambling and classes, workshops, i.e. dance, cooking, that kind of media, streaming, TV services and books and gaming and music streaming purchases and news magazines and special events, amusement parks, concerts, sporting events and shows. So that's the 13. And what was interesting to me is to find out what state spends the most on entertainment. Do you have any idea? It's going to surprise you, to say the least, and I'll hold it off for a few minutes, but I will tell you. I won't forget about that. 888-876-5593. That takes us to Eduardo in Midway. How's it going tonight, Eduardo?
It's going well.
All right.
Was going to talk about these... pharmacies that are cutting back on their hours.
Mm-hmm.
They claim it's due to shortages
of workers. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, by the way, we're talking about major pharmacies. This was in the news over the weekend. CVS and Walmart and Walgreens.
Right.
And they have fewer employees. And I'm sure that's a big part of it, to say the least. And I think that is a problem across the board, actually. And that's why we're not seeing places go back to 24 hours and things like that, is finding workers is very difficult. But there's another thing, too, and that's the pandemic really taught retailers that they really don't have to offer us as much service or as many hours, and they get away with it.
Yeah, and now, I mean, they're going to end the emergency May 11th. That came in the news. And insurance companies are you'll not have to, the shots, the COVID shots are not going to be free like they were in the past. I mean, the insurance can pick up some of it.
Well, that's up to any individual to decide whether they're partaking in that anyway. And so, yeah, the emergency, the health emergencies do end in May, and that will make a difference on probably a lot more than COVID, not only vaccinations but testing as well, which has been pretty much universally free. And so, I'm not.
Maybe they can have some. I was going to say maybe they can have some more because I talk about this. One of my favorite things to talk about is the trade schools.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they can show more interest in people going into that particular profession when they're in high school, college.
You're talking about like pharmacy techs. Obviously, they're not going to become right. pharmacists because that's going to require, college degrees and more. So, there's pretty... it isn't like the old days when Joe at the corner drugstore was your pharmacist. No, they have licenses now and they require quite a bit of education. But pharmacy tech, right. obviously. But I think there's a bigger problem, and that's that, and I don't know how we cope with this, but in general, people don't want to work anymore.
No, of course not.
How they're planning to get away with it, or how they are getting away with it. And, people will bring up, there's more people making money online and on social media. And there's a percentage of people who are doing that, but it's a single-digit percentage when you talk about enough money to eat. We're not talking about pocket change. Granted, there's, 1% or 2% who are making in the millions, but the average guy who gave up being a stocker at the supermarket, he's probably not making a killing online. So I don't know the answer to the riddle, but I do know that I hear this across the board. It doesn't matter what the occupation is, but support personnel are almost impossible to find now.
So one of the ways, not to get too political here, is to fill the void is obviously bring in foreign workers to fill the void on some of these open positions that people don't want to work.
Well, that's interesting. Well, and of course... with language barriers and everything else, there can be a lot of issues when you start having people interface with the public. So, but opening up more visa programs, I don't know. And I'm not 100% sure the quality of foreign entities that want to work here would be either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, obviously there'd be some kind of education where you just don't just throw somebody into a particular job.
And who pays for that?
Right. Who picks up the tab? Right. There you go.
Because it shouldn't be the taxpayer. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And I ultimately think that more and more we are a global universe, which a lot of people are clamoring for. I find it, terrible. But regardless, I think that the problems we have are probably indicative of problems that are everywhere.
Yeah. I see now they're doing hearings on PPP loans, people that kind of defrauded the government. And I saw this interesting stat where the Secret Service was, taking the lead as far as getting some of that back.
Well,
I mean, they are into the money thing, so.
Well, I would hope that they're going to go after this because, of course, it's impossible to believe that there wasn't a ton of fraud associated with both the PPP loans and the other loans that were offered to businesses and things like this. And yes, there were absolutely many businesses who benefited and deservedly so. But there were also people who were making money hand over fist, and there was very little investigation because time frames and everything else. I would hope after the fact they'll go after some people.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see what comes out of that.
Yeah, but you're right. When you talk about stopping the emergency, forget about the vaccines. You're really talking about a number of people who will be disenrolled from Medicaid entirely. You're talking about people who will lose some of their food stamp benefits. You're talking about a number of things that probably allowed some low income families to weather the incredible inflation that we have experienced, and it is fairly incredible. And so I think we're going to see much more of a fallout from that than we are whether you got a free test kit.
Yeah.
I
mean, What's so high of? I mean, eggs is high. I mean, but gas is a little low. I mean,
well, gas varies, but it's still higher than it was. And by the way, you talk about gas. Go to get your car repaired. Wait till you see the price of parts, if you can get them.
Oh yeah.
Now, in some cases, your car is going to be wanting for a while they say, and I have this with two vehicles, we don't have those parts. We hope we'll get them. You know, so there are shortages.
Yeah, I heard
shortages.
That people are paying like $1,000. My car's paid, but I heard people are paying $1,000 on car loans a month.
Well, I hate to hear that, but I wouldn't be totally surprised. And if we then get into the debt structure, the individuals who are surviving because of fantastic plastic and easy available credit, that's ultimately what are you doing? What are you doing?
Me?
Yeah, you in the bathroom?
No, you hear noise? Yeah, just shuffling papers.
Oh, I see. All right. Well,
nope.
I don't
nothing
know.
Bad. Just
yeah.
Shuffling papers.
Whatever it is, it was awfully noisy there for a moment. In any event, I think there are so many things that probably could come together for economic disaster. I don't know, but you look at these car loans, and sadly, over the last several decades, no longer do people say, "What does a car cost?" They say, "What are the payments?" And that very often can be a recipe for absolute failure when you start to get into a real tight financial situation.
Yeah, and people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, at, like I say, paycheck to paycheck with help from credit, you see, and that's the part that's really frightening, because in many cases those paychecks aren't covering. And it's one thing to say, oh, I spend more money, I'm borrowing credit card money, paying it over a period of time on your luxuries, your big screen TV or whatever. But we're seeing now a number of people who are putting the necessities, including in some complexes rent, on credit cards. So ultimately, this is, I don't have any answers, God knows, but I certainly see a lot of problems. And when you say that, I've never really taken the time to figure out what pharmacy techs, for instance, are making. But if it's a situation where the pay is not sufficient for them to comfortably live, then that too is like, why the hell should I work? Now, that said, that's not to imply that, gee, we ought to have pay that lets everybody survive at a nice level, because the other thing is, from the employer standpoint, it's not a case of what is the employee worth, it's a case of what is the job worth. And when we start to have to raise minimum wage to a point, you're automatically going to be raising the cost of the goods and services. I mean, that's why, I joke that Gio went to Sonic to get an estimate on a hot dog. I mean, those kind of things. You look at fast food today and you go, well, how did that happen? But it's where we are. And I don't have the answer, but it's there somewhere.
Yeah, well, let's hope as we get deeper into the year that things kind of get back to normal.
Yeah. So if you had to guess, what state spends the most on entertainment?
Yeah, let's see here. What state spends more on entertainment? I'm going to say Las Vegas.
Well, you mean Nevada. No, believe it or not, and with that logic, by the way, this will really stupefy you. Are you ready? Utah.
Drumroll, go ahead.
Utah. Yeah. Utah spends the most on entertainment. And Illinois, by the way, is tied with Virginia for number 10. Nevada.
Well, that's where they have Park City, where they do the movie.
Right. The film festival, yes. And, of course,
right.
there's also many national parks in Utah, and so Arches and others. So there's a lot of that. And, of course, part of Lake Powell is in Utah. But in general, you normally wouldn't think of Utah topping that list. Colorado, by the way, is number two. So, when I read that, I thought, what the? But that shows you that some of these surveys don't mean that much after all. But are you planning to spend less on entertainment this year?
Yeah. I mean, I try and get what I like, but I don't get carried away. I mean, I'm pretty good. I mean, my credit score is like 800 plus, maybe 900 plus. Although I'm single.
Well,
I don't have kids, so it helps.
Excellent. Well, good deal. Well, keep it up, and thanks for calling.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Raleigh. Everyone have a good weekend.
All right, you too. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Yeah, Utah. If the top figure was a score of 100, Utah has a 98.7 in spending on entertainment. Illinois and Virginia say tied in 10th place at 84.18 cents. So yeah, I found that downright surprising. Also interesting that number two was Colorado, right next to Utah. So I don't know, do national parks come into play? Hard to say. California was number three and Maine number four. Then we had Alabama and Connecticut. And as I mentioned, number seven was Nevada. New York, number eight. Maryland, number nine. And then, as I say, Illinois and Virginia rounding out the top 10 at number 10 with a tie. So, but I did find it interesting that the majority of Americans said they would spend less on all forms of entertainment than they did in 2022. And you'd think that to some degree that entertainment that involved going places, that was still kind of in the tail of people staying home from COVID and all that. But apparently the average person saying, oh, got to cut back. Well, interesting. 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine tonight right here on WGN Radio.
Don't touch that dial.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And, of course, that's Freddie Cannon. And it was Bill in Boston who asked if we'd play that, and happy to do so. That was the last quasi-hit he had. I say that because it kind of teetered around the top 40. He got to number 41 nationally in 1966 on Warner. Most of his big hits were on Swan. But that was the last time he had anything. Well, I guess in 81 he had Let's Put the Fun Back in Rock and Roll. It was on a charts for a couple weeks at number 81. But really, a dedication song was it for Freddie. And indeed, it was a fine song. Russ Reagan wrote it. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we're going to pick it up right there. We have Laura in Willowbrook. We have Fran in Austin. And we have room for you, too. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Over the mountain, across the sea, there's a girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is Johnny and Joe. Johnny Louise Richardson. She was Zell Sanders' daughter. And Zell, of course, was the owner of J&S Records. And they were from the Bronx. And, yeah, Johnny was great. And she did, in fact, she was one of the background singers on Sally Go Round the Roses. But who wasn't? And, of course, Joe Rivers. And he was originally from Charleston, South Carolina. And they started singing together in the latter 50s and released several things on Chess, that being one of them, Over the Mountain, 1957 on Chess. And later they got back together, and in the early 80s, I guess it was 82, they released Kingdom of Love, which I thought was one of the greatest records. Yeah, and so rarely do acts like that get together and you know, come back decades later with something great, but they did. Sadly, that would be it, because Johnny died of complications from a stroke in the later 80s. So we got Laura in Willowbrook. Welcome to WGN Radio, Laura.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
All right, cold, but we're getting warmer next week in the 40s.
Well, yeah, hey, it's better than Dallas, where they've been just felled with an ice storm like nothing else.
Oh, I know. My brother lives near there, and last year they had the powers going out, so the, what do they call it, the grids or whatever?
Oh, yes,
I
remember.
They didn't have, like, heat for a week, so yeah. That was terrible.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, reason I'm calling, when I was growing up, I thought of being a pharmacy tech, and you're talking about pharmacy techs and that,
uh-huh.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why they don't have workers. In Illinois, anyway, I don't know about other states, but minimum wage is $13 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmacy techs, they say the average is only $16 an hour. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of going into any, I call that medical training, but you have to go to school and you have to know a lot of different things that if you were just, like the minimum wage here, a lot of cashiers make $13 an hour.
Sure.
And I don't have anything against cashiers because I've been cashier many times. But somehow getting compensated only $3 difference to be a pharmacy tech, I can see why, you know what I'm saying?
No, so absolutely.
They got to go and do something else.
Yeah, but what else are they doing? And it's true, by the way, pharmacy techs in Arizona make $19 an hour, but still, it's you know, it's not very good good money. So when you're talking about it nationally, you're right, it's like $16.50 an hour throughout the country. So yeah. And in some states, you're talking $13 an hour. So sure.
And then who winds up paying the difference then? Is it going to get thrown back to us if they raise their rates?
Well, ultimately, yes, in a for-profit business, they're going to have to charge whatever it takes to defray their costs. They're not a charity, so of course they do. And that's that's part of the problem. But again, a while ago, we started to think that all jobs should be enough to support yourself, and that never, ever was the case in, you know, centuries gone by, to say the least. And so, again, it's not about what is an employee worth, it's what is the job worth. But I would think that with pharmacy techs, that job would be worth enough to keep your doors open. But apparently, you would think. So, that's an interesting thing. And what education is required and how much did it cost? Because, of course, the price of education today is outrageous.
Oh, I know. It is ridiculous. Well, Raleigh, I always enjoy your show. You're a wealth of knowledge and a whole lot of stuff. It's amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. Obviously, I don't know much about this, but I'm going to look it up to see on the pharmacy tech program. Okay, it'll be about $4,000 a year, and you can get an associate degree in 2 years or a certificate in 1 year. So between $4,000 and $8,000. But still, to get a job that's not much above what you were making, saying, do you want fries with that, does make you wonder.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Raleigh.
Right.
Have a good night.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah. And, of course, that doesn't include the time you're not working while you're studying or what you have to do to be alive while you're studying. So, you know, when you get right down to it and you add everything into the mix, it's probably $35,000. So I don't know. But it is interesting that we were seeing over the weekend of Walgreens and CVS and others saying that they're going to cut back hours. But again, I think the pandemic has taught a lot of people that, yeah, you can kind of play with those hours. That's right, go back to banker's hours. And a lot of small towns have done that. And of course, that's how Walmart was able to come in and really clean up in small towns coast to coast, because the towns that were basically your 9-to-5 Monday through Friday businesses, here comes Walmart 24 hours. And yeah, it wasn't only the low cost prices, it was the fact that they were always open. And now they're not. So, but they're still open, obviously, reasonably late, like 11 o'clock at night, but not 24 hours most places anymore. Fran and Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, you were talking about cuts. I tuned in a little late, but you were talking about cuts in food stamps, et cetera. Yeah, they cut mine by quite a bit.
All right. Now, that's interesting. What we were talking about, Eduardo was talking about how the emergency associated with COVID is lifted as of May. So they've already cut your... Now, on what basis did they cut them? Did they tell you?
The same thing, because they were giving extra because of the pandemic. And so they're cutting back the extra. But I'm not sure. I think they might be cutting me back to less than I had before the pandemic.
Ooh, that is tough. And of course, I realize when you're talking about programs, whether it be food stamps or Medicaid or something like that, you got a state and federal partnership, so it may be different from one state to another. But yeah, I guess some of the SNAP benefits, some states already have removed them, and other states it'll be next month or March. So.
Yeah, and a lot of other programs for, you know, yeah, like WIC or whatever,
right,
different programs, those
sure.
are being cut.
Sure.
The thing is, the prices aren't going down since, you know, they're saying that COVID's not a, you know, there's no state of emergency due to COVID, but the prices of food are not going down.
No, and this is part of the inflation that a lot of people aren't recognizing, if you're on a lower income tier, is affecting you dramatically. So
exactly. I mean, if I didn't have, if my mom hadn't passed and I didn't have, you know, a little bit of money a month coming from her, you know, we'd be in pretty bad shape. And
yeah.
Rents around here in Austin are just incredible.
Rents in Austin
have to move.
Yeah, no, rents in Austin have always been bad. And, you know, I don't know if that's because of UT, which is largely a renter's population. I mean, most state workers, they're there all year round. But in general, I know when I moved to Austin, which was, I guess, February of 96, I was stunned to find that the rental prices were higher than San Diego, where I had moved from.
Wow. Yeah, cause people around here are always telling me, oh, yeah, Austin used to be so great, and you could live here, and it was cheap, and you could afford,
yeah.
You know, and I'm
when,
like...
Yeah, when was that? Obviously, long before me. It was certainly smaller then, but I was stunned at how expensive rent was. I mean, it was on the tier of Los Angeles, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if we were on, you know, we're on Section 8, and, you know, I'm just afraid they're going to cut that out or cut that down or something.
Because, yeah, and that's a...
You know, it really makes it hard to feel any sense of security. And I know that we're not the only ones. I mean, you know, everybody's feeling the bite. Most people are anyway, except the, you know,
no, and
people with a lot of money. But...
For people who don't know you, I should mention that both you and Gary are blind, and this is a population that is just screwed blue, as far as I'm concerned. Most of my blind friends absolutely want to work, and very often they're not given that opportunity, especially at some of the government jobs, which we've talked about. So it's not a situation where you're saying I don't want to work or whatever. You know, you're put into the rock and a hard place. Yeah,
it's not something where they can say, well, just, you know, what's the matter with you? Go get a job.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then find out who's hiring you and the ignorance that you face in that, which is just horrible.
You know, it's not like I can just go down the street or, you know, go over and get a job at McDonald's or something like that.
Right.
I mean, and I've got a lot of education, you know, and no work. But you know what, Raleigh? I can't even get volunteer work.
No, I know. And this is it just breaks my heart. We've talked before. I had a good friend, George, who was working for the IRS for 20 years doing audits and doing a great job. And a new supervisor came in and said, well, we've changed the software and you won't be able to read it, so you can't do this anymore.
One of our best friends had that happen to him. He worked there for years and years. And, a lot of people that we know are working doing that. And they...
If it was the private sector, of course, the federal government would probably fine them. But when it's the federal government itself, they're absolutely fine with that. Or the number of people I've worked with where a general manager would come in and say, oh, well, you're blind. You can't take meter readings. Give me a break.
I got better ears than probably
right.
most of those.
Well, that's right. And there are so many ways, of course, to make it accessible and have been for decades, as far as that goes.
The
utter ignorance. So when we talk about this, I know a number of people will say, like you say, get out and get a job or whatever. When we're talking about a segment of a society that literally is put in that position where they cannot earn, it is societal responsibility, and it shouldn't be lumped in with everybody who maybe is able-bodied. There should be provisions for it, and there just aren't good ones.
Yeah, I'm thinking, if they don't want us to work, then pay us enough, to just have a decent living.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for, to be a millionaire. I just want to be able to survive. But I sound a little weird tonight. My arthritis is kicking me big time.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, and I can't get anything for the pain that works.
Well, that's it. That works is the operative statement there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that, because that's so tough.
I've been kind of down in the dumps anyway, so that doesn't help.
Right, it doesn't. It absolutely, but I understand on every way, shape, and form. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when all these benefits drop off, because now we're going to see how people have been coping with inflation, the inflation that for a while the federal government has been downplaying. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, because all the time, we've been asking, how are they, people that don't want to go back to work, I can understand that, but how are they living?
I would love to know. I would love to know.
How are they eating? How are they paying their rent?
I have not figured this out, and I assume that whoever's got the golden goose on that is not going to call the talk radio show to tell us.
No, probably not. No.
All right. No. Well, good luck on it. Keep me posted and feel better.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right.
Bye.
888-876-5593. We'll get to John in Covington, Kentucky, and Leah and Marcus Hook, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Woo, woo, ain't got no home, no place to roam. I ain't got a home, no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that is, in fact, J.D. McPherson, and we told Eric and Maxwell and Joshua Tree that we would play it. Actually, J.D. McPherson never recorded that, at least not for vinyl or whatever, CDs or whatever, unreleased, but he would do it in live performances and not as much recently, but that's the deal. That's J.D. McPherson's version of Ain't Got No Home, especially for Eric and Maxwell. All right, so we have John in Covington. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. About 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, one of the guys, or guy contestant, asked for the year 1969 and such a month and a day and whatnot. And the first song was Groovy Grubworm.
Harlow Wilcox.
Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
And please be patient with me. I know through listening to old-time radio...
Not the same one.
I hope it's not.
No, it's not. It's not.
That guy died in 1960.
Yeah, you know, Harlow Wilcox, it was from Norman, Oklahoma. He died in 2002. And so that's the Harlow Wilcox you're thinking about. Now, the announcer, well, that's a completely different guy. He was born in 1900 and died in 1960. So
that's correct, yes.
He actually got into show business because his father was part of Ringling Brothers. And he was born in Omaha and died in L.A. And so, no, absolutely not. No relationship. I doubt they even knew each other, and I have a feeling that Harlow in Oklahoma's parents did not name him after the other Harlow.
But how many Harlow Wilcoxes are there?
Well,
for heaven's sake.
Two that are famous, the country musician from Norman, Oklahoma, and the radio announcer, who's a pitchman,
right.
And he did a lot of radio ads and stuff like that. In fact,
oh, he was very talented.
Yeah, yeah. He was the announcer for Fibber McGee and Molly, which was,
right.
I think that was his first network thing. But
Johnson's.
Yeah, you name it. And what he was good for was integrating stories, commercials into the stories.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
The
writers worked with him. You know,
yeah.
They could do their show, and he could do a commercial.
Well, right.
All in the same thing.
Right, because it'd be like Fibber McGee and Molly are answering the door, and you know, a stream of people
exactly.
are coming, and one of them's Harlow Wilcox, and no matter what the conversation was before he arrived, he got to floor wax in a picosecond. Yeah,
Fibber says. Okay, Waxy, come on. Let's
yeah, right, exactly. So,
okay.
Yes, not the same guy.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to ask you is a 45 on Mercury Records, and it must have been one of my uncle's. It's the Smothers Brothers, and the A-side is Jenny Brown.
Okay.
Okay, and I think that was supposed to be the hit, you know, a comedy type of thing.
Yeah.
And then the B side.
You Go This Away.
Exactly, and you know what? They hold their own. They rocked.
Well, yeah, I actually, when reel-to-reel quarter-inch tapes were coming out being made, I still have one of the Smothers Brothers albums on reel-to-reel quarter-inch tape, and they did stuff that later became hits by other people. So, yes, they absolutely...
Mason Williams worked with them quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
You know who that is?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But that... That tape was called Smothers Brothers Playing It Straight, and I think that that came out on 66, and like I say, I got it on reel-to-reel tape, but it was interesting because first time ever I saw your face was on that album, long before Roberta Flack ever thought of doing it.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Dick sung that one, and you know, there was some Beatles stuff like Yesterday and all that, but yeah, there was a whole
lot of stuff. You know, I tell you real quick... I was watching YouTube one time back before my eyes were still kind of good,
yeah.
And I was watching YouTube, and I looked up the Smothers Brothers,
uh-huh.
And they had a show. They said, I think this is our best show, and it was when the writers, or not the writers, but the musicians.
Oh, the
Nelson
strike.
Riddle.
The strike, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
and boy, oh boy, that was a good show, and... George Harrison was on there, and he only did like, "Oh hi, how you doing?" He didn't play,
right?
Because he because he wanted to honor the strike. Now, this really surprised me because Peter, Paul, and Mary were on there. They played. Donovan was on there. He played. And Smothers Brothers, they played.
Yeah.
But George Harrison, you can say all you want about maybe he's so fine and my sweet Lord, but by God, God love him, he honored that strike.
Yeah, no, I thought the world of him, actually, and I don't think it sounded like he's so fine at all. But yeah, the Smothers Brothers was great, and Albert Brooks's brother, Bob Einstein, was one of their key writers, and he was hilarious.
People don't realize this. Rob Reiner, Meathead, you know?
Yeah, I know.
He was a writer on there, and people really freak out when I tell them this. Planes, Trains, and Automobile guy, real popular.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'll give you 6 minutes to think about it, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. James, and yes, that is Major Lance, and it was a hit too, actually. And Rhythm, 1964 on OK, number 3 on the R&B charts, 24 on the pop charts. And it was Jim in New Hampshire who wanted to hear that and happy to play it. So we're talking with John in Covington, Kentucky. We covered Harlow Wilcox, and he was just about to bring up, we give plenty of time to think about it. So what is it?
Oh, it's the writers of the Smothers Brothers, and people who don't believe me when I tell them this. Is Steve Martin,
of course,
was one of them.
Of course.
And McLean Stevenson.
Okay.
And then there was Pat McCormick. He kind of died young. He was very kind of heavy set, but yeah. I appreciate your time. Thanks for keeping me over.
Oh, absolutely. And you were right about Rob Reiner. And, of course, Ernie Chambers was the original writer-producer, and then Steve Martin, as everybody knows. But Bob Einstein did a lot of work, there.
People don't realize what a good show that was.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And obviously CBS hated it from the first minute they had it. So it was...
that right.
Yeah. And
thank you so much.
Sure thing. Thanks for calling. Yeah, Sam Bobrick was a writer on that, Mason Williams. And, yeah, it was an all-star cast. And they had some great players in it, too. I think it was Tommy who found Pat Paulson, who was just one of the greatest deadpan guys ever. But it did not please CBS that was in a world of hurt for all sorts of reasons. 888-876-5593 takes us to Leah in Marcus Hook. How's it going tonight, Leah?
All right, how are you?
All right, tell me what's up.
Oh, well, first I wanted to say that Albert's niece is actually in pharmacy school becoming a pharmacist.
Yeah.
And she comes home, for the holidays and stuff, and then she works at CVS as a pharmacy tech.
Okay.
So that she can save up money and then go back to pharmacy school. It's somewhere in Ohio.
You know, I was just reading something, of all things, about a Walmart program that is really impressive as far as pharmacy techs go. And they pay for 100% of your pharmacy tech certification. The pay is over $20 an hour. They give you raises frequently and other benefits. They've really gone out of their way. So depending on what she's doing.
She's becoming a full-fledged pharmacist, though.
Oh, okay. So she'll be in school quite a while.
she will be in school quite a while.
Yes.
Yes. She will.
Yes. If she wants
she
to be.
She has been in school for about a year now.
Oh, well, that's nothing. She's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's, she's probably got another five to go.
Well, she worked as a pharmacy tech before she went into school all through her high school year.
Right, right.
So I guess they accrue hours, and that goes towards your, I think this is how it works, that goes towards your degree.
Yeah, it's normally a total of about 8 years. You get your undergraduate, and then you have to do your graduate,
yeah,
which is, you know, usually
yeah,
another...
Yeah, I think she got the undergraduate part already.
Okay, so she's just going on the final four, so to speak. Well, good, because
yes,
she'll make some good money for that.
Yes. She will. She will. She's a very brilliant young lady.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not not easy to do that, but it's not unusual in some cases to see over $160,000 a year from those jobs.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
That is good.
Yeah, it is good. No, it's really good. So,
good.
I mean, that's more on the top tier, because when you walk in as a, you know, a young pharmacist, you probably make $50,000, but when you are fully seasoned and all that, I think the figure is $162,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, she's had a lot of experience. So
yeah. Well, no, I mean, once she gets more years as a pharmacist, it'll go up.
Yeah.
So, but even so, that's nothing to sneeze about, but that is not an easy curriculum. And so, you know, I laugh because of course, when I was a kid, pharmacists were the next door neighbor's dad, and you know, there was no certificate or anything. They just were
right. Exactly. That's exactly
right.
How it was here. The pharmacy
right.
was the guy who lived next door to you in Riddlewood. You
right,
know?
Right.
Like,
well, right, right, exactly. And these were compounding guys. So not only were they doing
yes.
the job, but they were doing things that most pharmacists today don't even encounter.
Well, my pharmacy does.
Yeah,
that's
well, some
I picked it.
Yeah, some do, but most don't.
Right.
You know, it's rare
I
to find.
They don't.
Yeah, rare to find compounding pharmacies anymore. But yeah, they are just wonderful when you can.
I know. That's why I picked it, because it's a little out of the way family pharmacy. The only thing is they're not open on weekends, so you can't get medicine delivered
right,
on the weekend.
Right. Well, that's usually the way with something like that, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, as long as you make sure you have your deliveries before Friday, you know,
right.
you're okay.
Good deal.
Just got to keep on top of it. And I'm basically going through the same thing Fran is with the food stamps and the arthritis.
Yeah. Yeah, well, with that program ending, what's Pennsylvania doing? When are they cutting you back?
They're cutting off everybody, cutting off everyone I know who got the same letter. We're cutting the emergency food stamps, which is what they were doing, was making two food stamp payments a year.
Right.
A month.
So what are they doing this as of February 1st or when?
Yes, February. And okay. they're cutting off the second payment, so we only get one payment at the beginning. At the, like, around the beginning of the month,
right.
around the 10th or the 13th. And then they got another letter yesterday that they're cutting the amount of the first payment.
Oh, no, really?
Yes.
Well, that's tough.
$198 to $154.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Well, and this is, as I say, this is where you find out what inflation really is doing at the grocery store, because that makes a huge amount of difference.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it goes, I don't know, it's a federal thing, so it doesn't do any good to fill out the appeal.
Right. No, I mean, it is what it is. It's, you could fill
it's
out an...
It's not a state, it's none of it is a state thing. It's all federally.
There's not a
it
state.
It says right in the letter, this is a federal
right,
issued
right.
thing or whatever.
Right, right. But the state, of course, is part of the program, but they're not gonna make decisions contrary to
it. Yeah, they're not making the ones. They're not the ones making the decisions.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Filling out. I mean, they send you appeal papers, but it's like it's not going to do any good because it's a federally mandated thing.
Right. Right.
So,
well,
yeah, and
yeah.
the arthritis is really bad because the weather's like warming up, like, you know, like in that middle range where, you, like, spring where you don't know what to do.
Right, right, yes.
Whether to wear a coat or a sweater or whether
yeah.
to, you know.
Yeah. No, I know. Absolutely. And winter's not over yet, so it'll go back to being cold again. Give it a chance.
Winter is not over yet. I'm so glad we're getting, like, freezing cold weather starting this weekend.
Well, there you go.
I'm so happy. Oh, and you wanted to know who the other team was last night? It's the Eagles.
Yes, I figured that out after a while. That's right. And
you did?
yes, I did. And I guess that reading up a little bit about it, that the Kansas City guy is playing on an injury, so that it sort of increases the Eagles' chances on this.
Oh, I don't know which guy that is. Is that the quarterback, Mahomes?
Yes. He, a couple weeks ago, when they were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, he pretty much decimated his ankle. And he did play in some of the playoff, but, in terms of where he is, I guess they'll wait till after this week to determine how much he'll be.
He really played in the playoffs.
Yes.
It was a hard, I didn't plan to watch it because I'm not a big football fan. I'm a hockey fan, but I turned it on because my show was coming on afterwards, Fire Country, and I'm telling you, it was the hardest fought game I think I've ever seen. I mean, it was 20-20 throughout the whole fourth quarter until this one Bengal, he made a terrible play, and he got a penalty, and then that's why they were able to get Kansas City was able to get a field goal for 3 points, and that's how they won the game.
It
was right at the last second.
Well, so it'll be exciting, and of course, I don't know how exciting for people going when you're reading that the hotel prices are averaging $1,500 a night. The Motel 6 is charging $500 a night.
Motel 6?
Yeah, $500 a night at Motel 6, that's the bargain. And then your usual moderate income chains are all at $900 and up, and on average, it's $1,500 a night. But then when you realize the tickets are over $9,000 each, maybe that's not a lot of money. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe $500 isn't that bad.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's crazy.
Nobody's going to get in the Motel 6 now. It's long sold out. I don't even think you'll get any of those $900 rooms, and there's not many $1,500 rooms left, so I guess people are going to commute. But yeah, they jacked up the prices unbelievably.
One night, you can sleep in your car.
Well, I guess, but these hotels have jacked up those prices for the entire week.
So. I would get a rental car and sleep in the car.
Right. Well, maybe people will. I don't know. But then again, if you were paying $9,000 for a ticket, maybe you'd think differently. Who knows?
Well, a lot of these people have won tickets. I just saw this older gentleman on the Action News tonight. He won the tickets. And I'm thinking, yeah, but they just give you the tickets. They don't pay for your room and board.
Is that true? Oh, I would think that the prize would be they paid for everything.
No, they just gave him the tickets.
Oh, well, that's not a good prize.
Yeah, well, that's the way it works.
Yeah, but that's what it is. All right, well, there you have it.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
And they don't, and about the entertainment thing, we don't go out. We don't go out except to, like, Applebee's now and then.
Okay.
When I'm able to eat. So, like, the entertainment thing, I think we spend a lot less since COVID. Because he won't even go to a movie theater since COVID started.
Really?
Yeah, he won't take me to a movie anymore.
Well, there's a good excuse, I guess.
He's afraid of going in the movie theaters and getting COVID.
All right. Well, interesting stuff.
Yeah, the only entertainment things we spend on is, like, he collects, like, rock and roll memorabilia.
Okay. Well, that wasn't on the survey, so they didn't ask anybody about that, I don't think.
But... so we're spending less, definitely.
All right. Well, good deal. Always good to talk to you.
All right. Take care.
Okay, thanks. You too. So 888-876-5593. And Tony is a first-time caller in Massachusetts. So welcome to WGN Radio, Tony.
Hi there. Yeah, I'm listening all the way in Western Massachusetts on AM, believe it or not.
I do believe it. Absolutely, I do. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah. I figured I'd call in and maybe see if I could hear some Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine.
Oh, you want hits, huh? All right, well, I'll see what I can do. I've certainly got it, but let's see. Yeah, I'll try to find it for you. You betcha.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for calling. Do it again.
All right.
So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know, 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 I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
So you say it, I'll play it. That is Bill Withers. That was the first thing he charted with in 1971 on Sussex. Got to number 6 on the R&B charts and 3 on the pop charts. And it's interesting, yes, he wrote it, but this was a B-side. And Booker T, as in Booker T. Jones of Booker T. and the MGs, he produced that record. Yeah, 1971. And you know, Sunshine. And was the A-side, you want to know? It was Harlem. And Bill Withers wrote that, and Booker T produced that as well. But it was Ain't No Sunshine that put Bill Withers on the map. And, of course, sadly, he's no longer with us. Died in 2020. And he was born in Slab Fork, West Virginia. I only remember that because it's such an odd name. Slab Fork. Died in Los Angeles. And, it was sad. But left us with a lot of interesting things, including some music that doesn't get a lot of airplay. And so, it was a heart condition, I think, that took him out. He was 81 years old at the time. So that's the deal on Bill Withers. But yeah, he also weathered a real storm because, he was one of the guys whose record label collapsed. And so that was an interesting story. Sussex folded. And he didn't miss a beat, though. He signed with Columbia in 75. And yeah. All right. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Randy is in Clear Lake, Iowa. So we'll start now. We'll be interrupted by the news, and we'll get back to it. So, okay, Randy. Yes, I know what you want to talk about. Tomorrow is the day the music died, right? Or Saturday.
That's right, yeah. Well, you know, it's been about a year since we talked.
Yes.
If you recall, last year I was heading up, and we talked, and I got a mutual fan of yours that was just here with us, Rockin' John McDonald.
Oh, great.
Out of Madison. And I said, yeah, Raleigh's people that call in on Raleigh's show.
Yeah.
Mentioned the fact they listen to John. And I haven't talked to you since last year, but we had breakfast with the Fireballs, George Tosco and Jimmy Gilmer. And some of the guys. And, you know, this year, Kenny Vance is here.
Oh, terrific. Well, tell Kenny hello for me.
I will, because you were just talking about him like 2 weeks ago, and you were playing his song.
Yes, and let him know that too, because he's on my callback list, and I'm really glad he's still alive, because most of the people only get off it by dying. And promise him that I will call, and he can call me too.
I'm gonna say Raleigh's looking for an echo.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so he's gonna be one of the featured entertainers, and tonight we were with Tommy Alsop's son, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Alsop comes and plays, you know. But anyway, so yeah, we're just talking, and I said, what a coincidence that Kenny's going to be here. They got a great lineup. John Mueller kicks things off tomorrow night.
Good.
He does the Winter Dance Party show.
Sure.
And John does a great Buddy Holly. He's amazing.
Sure.
Ray Anthony does Richie Valens, and they cover it well. But anyway, I saw John today. So we're going to call Raleigh.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrific. I'm so
glad. And then we lost John tonight. He's probably up in his hotel. We're at the same hotel. He's probably going, darn it.
All right. Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And who knows?
Okay.
Maybe John will appear. I know the news will appear in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Try me. Try me. Darling, tell me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course, that is the incomparable James Brown, Try Me, 1965 on Smash, and it was Scotty in East Chicago who wanted to hear that, and I hope he's doing well tonight. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking to Randy in Clear Lake, Iowa, just ahead of the festivities that start bright and surly tomorrow morning. Yes, and a three-day record show. That sounds like a lot of fun at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, that's where we're staying. They got a great record show. Got some good entertainment. You know, Chris Montez is going to be here.
Saturday night, yes, along with Kenny.
And Bill Haley Jr. does a nice job.
Well, good.
He does. Good. They really do. The band, he's got a great band. They do a really nice job. And then Saturday night is going to be Swim Jim Phantom.
Okay.
Albert Lee.
Yeah.
Albert's always amazing. Kenny and the Planetones.
Yeah.
Gary U.S. Bonds. Yeah.
It is going to be a great show.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I got to give you a great compliment. When you do an artist profile, you nail it. The night you did Johnny Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah,
it was amazing.
Someone requested that. Him. It never would have been, you know, my choice, but I am very remiss at getting that. In fact, I just heard from Amanda who emailed and said, why aren't you just telling me about Gene Chandler? And, of course, the reason for that is I have to prepare those shows to get the records ready and all that, and I've been insurance hell this week. So if I get some free time tomorrow, I'll put Gene Chandler in that list. All right.
Well, you do a great job. You had me I went back to the website and listened to that over again with him. It was what you did was amazing. Just the history, the whole Whiskey a Go-Go scene was amazing. Amazing.
My pleasure. Glad you liked it.
Well, listen, thank you for doing what you do, because I listen to you every night that I can.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, have a great time over the next 4 days.
I see Kenny. I'll tell him that he's on the callback list.
Yeah, he absolutely is. And he can call me too, of course. And I've been terrible about that. And a mutual friend of ours just died. And I know he's upset about that too. So I promise that I will make it a point to call him.
Well, that's awesome. And if I see our man, Rockin' John, tomorrow, maybe we'll try to call you tomorrow night.
I'll count on it. I'll be here. Thanks.
All right, Raleigh.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so much. We love you. I got about six of us here. We all love to see you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And signing off, Clear Lake, Iowa. Hope to talk to you tomorrow night.
Rave on.
All right. Yes, indeed. So there you have it. Yeah, the Rockin' Boppin' Record Show should be a lot of fun starting tomorrow morning. And I think that's bright and surly, too. Well, actually, tomorrow it starts at 10, but Friday I saw it started like at 8:30 or something. Well, I guess somebody will be there then. All right. So 888-876-5593. Wes is a first-time caller, and he's at the Kennedy Space Center. Yeah, going to the Space Coast, Cocoa Beach and such. WGN, thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
All right.
Raleigh?
Yeah.
I heard your program, I think it was last night or night before, you were talking about AM radio.
Oh, we're talking about,
about
AM synchronized transmitters,
I love it. And I'm way down here. I'm about 80 miles south of Daytona Beach.
No, I know just where you are. I know just where you are.
On the Kennedy Space Center.
Yes.
So we're preparing for a launch this morning at about 2:47 Eastern Time of a SpaceX booster.
Oh, good.
And I had a few free minutes here. I just want to call and say hi. It's wonderful to hear a good radio station down here, because, you know, here in Central Florida, we have no radio station. There's nothing worth listening to, especially at this time of night.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a friend who used to own a little AM in Cocoa Beach. Sadly, he died, but he was a lifelong friend. It was Ray Cassis, had a WWBC. And right there, the
I
big
know
50.
Him personally.
Oh, okay. Well, Ray and I grew up together. I've known Ray since he was in school. And his mama, Sarah, who's no longer with us either, but she fed me on more than one Sunday. And I miss Ray. I know he got remarried to Kimberly. I never met Kimberly, but I understand she owns the station now.
Well, it's a small world. I mean, you wouldn't think that a station, there was a gospel station or something, I understand.
Yes, Christian,
is that kind of music at WWBC, but I wanted to tell you about when 6:30 comes here, that's the end of my shift.
Uh-huh.
And some of the other millennial Generation X guards get in this vehicle and they can't figure out, what have you been listening to? They see 720 on the AM radio dial. Well, the station obviously by daylight is gone.
Yeah.
And they just don't get it that it's AM. And they, why don't you just put it on streaming? Sorry, it's police radio. And they insist that I'm not listening to anything. I go, well, you know that can't be true. I'm out here at night. So finally tonight, one of the guards walks up here, and he hears you on 720, and he thinks I've got some device in here streaming the audio. And that's how well it sounds here. So, no, it's there's an antenna on this car. It's not like the new vehicles where you have the little piece of dental floss in the windshield for an antenna. This has an external antenna on these security vehicles.
Yeah.
And I can hear WGN is blasting in here. It's good.
Absolutely. No, well, yeah. And, of course, you do have The Beach, which occasionally plays a decent oldie. They used to have the Mike Harvey Show. So that was something, SBH 98.5. So you got that. And,
yeah, but I heard you playing the song just as you led into after the last break.
Yeah,
that was great. And just you don't hear that kind of music anymore here in Florida. I've been here since 1974, and the whole world has gone hip hop. So it's nice to hear someone talk not only about the older music but AM radio, because every day in here I hear somebody talking about AM radio. Well, who listens to that? And one of the guards here is about 23 years old, a security person. Oh, what's the AM stand for on their radio? Is that alarm mode? That's AM.
Yes.
You know, AM.
Yes, amplitude and modulation, yes.
Yes. But when you turn it on, they instantly think you're streaming it from somewhere. You cannot be listening to Chicago and Central Florida. It just can't happen. You've got to be, what do you think? I have an Ethernet connected to this police vehicle somewhere?
Well, no. And there's a lot you can hear. You can hear WBT in Charlotte at 1110 without any problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that you want to, but there's a lot you can hear.
No, I don't want to. And I'm from Cincinnati, so I hear 700 WLW.
Oh, absolutely.
And all they ever talk about is football.
Well,
so it's just,
but you know, it's still WLW. You kind of gotta love that. And I still have my. I've been visiting with Dixon Bag from the Paul Baby Dixon Show. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, I go back to the Ruth Lyons.
Oh, of course, the 50-50 club.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Of course.
But, I like WGN down here because you're the only one that ever plays any really good oldies. I know one night there. It's been a while back. I don't get too many chances to call you during this shift because I'm not really supposed to be out here in the security vehicle chatting on the radio. but we are waiting on a SpaceX launch. They've got us on hold here.
Yeah.
So I don't hear Otis Redding and people of that ilk too often. So it's just really refreshing to hear that.
Okay, so off the top of your head, give me your top three favorites.
Well, I like Sam Cooke.
Yeah, give me songs. Which ones?
The song, Born by the River. I think that's the song. Change is Gonna Come.
Change is Gonna Come. Okay.
Yeah, and Otis Redding.
What's your favorite Otis?
Roadhouse. It was featured in the movie Roadhouse. These Arms, okay. I believe it is.
Okay. And
don't laugh, but I love 409 by the Beach Boys.
All right. Well, I'll get them on for you. And thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, great.
Appreciate
good
it.
Talking to you.
All right. Call
all right,
again.
Bye.
Thanks. All right. Good for the Space Coast to check in. Yeah, and I wish SpaceX all the luck in the world on that. We'll find out whether that close orbit there will really demolish those long ping times that are such a problem with satellite internet. But yeah, if he can get the ping time down to next to nothing, something's really going to go on with that. So we'll see. We'll get to TJ's in DeKalb. Going to talk WENR. Yeah. And Nick in Baltimore. All right. New York City. I'm doing fine now. And Stacy is in Algonquin, and Frank's in Northlake. I hope. In fact, he requested I'm moving on. So maybe that. I hope he heard us last night. We played as Hank Thompson, but maybe we'll try for I'm moving on. We'll definitely get that on tonight. So there's still room for you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
These arms are mine. These arms of mine. will be.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there you have it, Space Coast. Yeah, Otis Redding, These Arms of Mine. And that was the first chart record Otis ever had. And it did very well on the R&B charts, barely made it on the pop charts, number 85, but got up to 20 for a first outing, that's not bad, in 1963 on Volt. And yeah, and that started almost three dozen chart records for Otis Redding. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And TJ is in DeKalb. What's going on, TJ?
Well, I'm still rocking and rolling.
Good.
I just wanted to, well, I got three things. Number one, I wanted to find out about WENR because I was too little to appreciate it when it was on, but my grandma and grandpa used to tell me they used to listen to it. And then number two, a song that I haven't heard in a long time, and you probably, I don't, it's Watermelon Man, not the one instrumental from the 60s. This was way back in the early 50s. Al Benson played a song about the Watermelon Man, and it was he was riding along in his it starts off where the guy is riding along in his cart and the horse is leading the way, and he's yelling out, "Watermelon!" I don't know if you ever heard of it.
I don't know. Well, what years do you think this was?
I say in the early 50s. I don't know exactly. I was
early
about 3 or 4 when it came out. But,
so
it was, yeah. Al Benson was. Yeah, back in the days when Al Benson was on in the morning and in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one that, of course, is popular is the thing that Herbie Hancock had written, Watermelon Man, the one you know of and all that. So it might be hard to find this because, of course, you know, that'll obscure all the searches. But and, of course, it was a movie, too. But I bet that I will find it. But now I'm curious. You want to know about WENR. You don't mean WYNR, right?
No.
Okay,
no,
you really mean WENR. No, it's okay that you do, but I mean, when you say you were too young to remember it, well, almost all of us were too young to remember it. So, I mean, I certainly can talk about it, but, you know, that used to be a split frequency. And so how far back do your relatives go on this?
I'd say about 52, 51.
Oh, yeah, well, no, all right, but it had been around for years by that time. So, mm-hmm. You know, this is one of the earliest stations in Chicago. So we're talking the 20s. And that's what I mean. So we're going early, but now of course it lasted, you know, long after that. But on the FM, of course, WLS FM started as WENR FM in 1948. But you're talking about the AM, and it was a split frequency with WLS. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, I can do that. In 1959, WENR and WLS merged, and you know, that was sort of the end of that. But if we're talking from the 20s on, this was an interesting little radio station. Originally, they were on 870 originally, and they were sharing with another station, CBD, and then they shared with ENR. And so, in 31, ENR, I think. They got the 50,000 watts, and of course, LS did as well. But so
right.
You know, you're looking at 1925. Then ENR was on 1130 at 100 watts, and then 1927, I think BCN was and ENR were both bought by a company, and then they dropped BCN, and ENR went full time on 1030. And then in 1928, later in 28, before the end of the year, that's when they moved to 870 and shared the frequency with WLS. And in 1931, it was sold to NBC. And it was a big sale because this was 31, and they sold it for $1 million. And it moved to the Merchandise Mart, and it became the first 50-kilowatt station. And, of course, 1941, when they did the frequency alignment, ENR and LS both went to 890. And, you know, that was interesting because now you get into NBC had to divest the Blue Network in the 40s, and, you know, that's how ABC came about. But ENR was in Merchandise Mart until 52, and Paul Harvey was on ENR until 51. So in 54, ABC, which, of course, you know, we're talking about ENR at this point, they buy a 50% interest in LS, and that's when they combined them. November 59, they got the other half of LS from Prairie Farmer. So, you know, then from there on, the history is WLS. But, yeah, that's really about all I can tell you, but no one's ever asked me about this before.
Oh, cool. I just wonder what type of format they had.
All those stations at that time were block programmed. It wasn't a format like where music... You know, and of course they weren't on 24 hours a day. They were sharing the frequency. So for a while, you know, they had Paul Harvey and other things, things like that. But LS, for their part, they did a lot of news. In fact, LS were eyewitnesses for the Hindenburg and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they were carrying
according to that.
Yeah.
Hindenburg.
Right. And, you know, Fibber McGee and Molly and all that were produced at, ENR, for a while. And so they're, and it was interesting because what LS or WENR didn't air, WCFL did. And so, you know, in terms of programming, it was really, really block programmed.
Wow. The third thing, and then I'll roll on, but the third thing, I wanted to say hello to my friend in Chicago, Karen. Remember she called?
Yeah.
We talked about Maxi AIDS.
Yes.
And
yes.
She was a good friend of mine.
Good.
And I lived in a hotel on Rush Street back in the day.
Good.
And there was a lot of action there, and we would go out to dinner or just take walks, and we both had seeing eye dogs, and you know, we're just real good friends. So I wish I could talk to her, but
well, I'll do this. I'll put you on hold. I'll have you give John your phone number, and if Karen calls in, I'll have John give Karen your phone number.
Okay, that'll be awesome. Okay.
Absolutely. And that way we'll find out. All right. Well, hang on. Don't go away. And
okay.
And that's it's terrible. I don't remember if I broke or I didn't break this half hour. So I guess I'll just
you did.
Good. Dan just told me I did. Okay, so good. I did the right thing for once in my little life. But yeah, ENR was interesting, and of course you know, the ABC ownership and all of that, and but definitely block programmed as far as that goes. So all right. So we took care of TJ's question. And what does this get us to? You know, John talks to TJ and gets his phone number. And I talk to Nick in Baltimore. Hello, Nick. Thanks for calling back.
Hey, Raleigh. Hey, thanks for having me back. I usually don't call twice in a row.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I had a question about the group New York City.
Yeah. I'm doing fine now.
They go way back, don't they?
Well, and how far back? I mean, I wouldn't say that.
Like to the 50s or early 60s? Or
I don't think so. Some of them, I mean, they weren't young, but let's see. What do I know about New York City, which is not as much as you'd expect? But I think some of them were in a doo-wop group, and Claude Johnson in particular. But
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, Claude Johnson was. But Wes Farrell and Tom Bell produced their stuff in the 70s, which is really the only real success they had. But like John Brown had, who was in the group, he had been in various incarnations of like the Five Satins or the Cadillacs or the Moon Glows. But Claude Johnson is the one that I'm thinking of because, you know, he was in the Genies and, of course, Don and Juan. You know, he was half of that. So, you know, I would say, John certainly had some experience, but Claude Johnson, no doubt, big deal.
I love that record. So, I mean,
I'm doing fine now. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's my era, you know, 60s and 70s. So,
all right.
I had a real quick question. We were talking to the guy at in Orlando.
Yeah.
WKKO.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'm leaving it there. We're going to hear the news and more coming up. Don't go away. And right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is New York City. Quick, Fast, in a Hurry. 1973 on Chelsea. Yeah, other than I'm doing fine now, that was the only real charter. Number 19 on the R&B charts, 79 on the pop charts, and it was on that I'm Doing Fine Now album. And Tom Bell and Linda Creed wrote that, and Tom Bell actually produced it. So, yeah, but we're talking about Clarence Johnson, who, of course, was in Don and Juan, but before that was certainly the writer and, I'd say, lead of the Genies. You remember the Genies? I thought it was just a terrific record. And from there, of course, he went on to Don and Juan. He was Juan, by the way. that's right. Roland Trone was Don. And sadly, Roland died in, I think, about 82. But Don, Claude, continued to tour for about 20 years until his death. And, of course, What's Your Name was their big, big record on Big Top in 1961. That was top 10. But I thought Magic Wand was the piece de resistance for me. Claude Juan, and of course it was absolutely nothing. But when the oldies circuit started to happen, sadly, when Roland died, this was right at the height of gigs, and so, like I say, Claude Johnson continued to perform. I have no idea if he did any of the New York City stuff, and I guess I will defer to Nick on that, since I don't know that much about him. So did Claude ever continue to perform as New York City in later years?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm at a loss because I just know I like the record. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he is in the business. And he said, "Oh yeah, they had the doo-wop connection." So I was fascinated with that. So
yeah, well, that was the connection. I mean, the other guy sang with all the groups, but I don't think he was on any of the recordings. But certainly Juan there or Claude Johnson, you know, like I just showed you, had the Genies and then Don and Juan, and I thought that was great.
Oh man, thanks for doing that. Sure. That's great. Man, the music is fantastic. But one more question I had about the you had the guy calling from the Space Coast, Space Coast,
right?
And there was that little station down there, WKKO.
Oh yeah, that was a great little top 40 station back in the day.
On 860, right? It was
You know, in its day, that was a good little radio station, and 860, and. In fact, I think Ray, my school buddy Ray Cassis, was involved to some extent with that as well. So yeah, they were around for years. Yeah, Rocket Radio.
Yeah, they were like 1,000 watts or something.
Yeah, if that. Yeah, probably. not much of a signal. That's for sure. I remember their studios. It was like a white brick building, and it had kind of a red door and a red roof around it. And then somebody had written WKKO on the side, and yeah, they had mobile trucks and all that. And I think that they were the second radio station to go on the air in Brevard County. Is their big claim to fame. And if you take a look at that tower site, it's it's a joy to behold. it'll certainly remind you of old time radio. That's for sure.
And the only reason I know about that is I found it on YouTube.
Oh really?
I'll find it and I'll send you the link.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I sent you a couple of emails last night. Well, today I think. Yeah. And one is a bunch of air checks, you know, a dial scan from the early 60s, and the other one is the WGN special that I found last night.
Oh, wow.
I was listening to it.
Yeah.
I'll find that, and I'll send that to you.
Well, I have a feeling they're probably still on the air in some form, and probably, you know, still on Burnett Road, I would think. I don't know.
No.
And, but
I hope, but
in their day, they were absolutely something.
Yeah, the air check I found was really cool.
But
that triggered in my mind when the man called from the Space Center, because you know, I remember that, because I remember hearing that, you know, seeing that air check on YouTube.
Well,
I've never heard it, but, you know, I mean, I heard the air check.
Yeah, right. It's interesting that, just like we're talking about Daytona Beach, too, they had MFJ and a few other stations. I mean, there were some hot little stations in markets that really were non-existent in size at the time, because, you know, at the time, Orlando yet hadn't blossomed. Of course, you know, Disney hadn't come to town, so Orlando was pretty much the dregs. So there wasn't a lot, but they still had some good little radio stations, especially Daytona Beach. But yeah. Absolutely. I remember KKO and knew several people who worked there, because, of course, you know, the deal was you want to get in at any station you can, so you can make air checks and actually get, you know, one day a real job. So yeah, KKO was perfect for that. But yeah, absolutely. I remember.
Well, really cool. Thanks a lot for doing that. And
I've
enjoyed the show. And
sure.
I always enjoy it and always listen. So,
happy
you have a lot
to.
Of fans out here.
Ah, well, it's always good to hear you call. So, yeah, the Big 860. Now, you know, it was a daytimer. You do know that, right? So,
yeah.
So it was definitely a rundown at sundown. But I think Tom Tyler was actually the program director there for a while. So there you go. Probably an air check of him somewhere.
Cool, really cool sounding station. I'll dig it up and I'll send it. Link to you, so.
Okay, good deal. I'll look forward to it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. And, of course, Cocoa Beach had RKT, you know, and that was a 1300. It was a daytimer also, but I think they ultimately did get some nighttime power later down the road. So, and they got an FM in the 60s, 104.3. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And what are we doing here? I believe Stacy from Algonquin has an update. So, Stacy, how are you doing?
Okay. How are you, Raleigh?
All right. How you feeling? All good?
Well, I was a little under the weather.
Oh, no. What's going on?
Well, what I did is, you know, when I have trouble sleeping, like I have groceries in the kitchen, so I bend down a lot. You know, I bend down here to pick this up or pick up bottles. And I woke up last week and my neck was killing me. And the back of my head was killing me. And I got so nervous. And I even made an appointment, you know, like with my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is one of the nurses called me back and she said, try taking two of my extra strength Tylenol, which is the only thing that helps me.
Mm.
Plus, I have my anxiety, the clonazepam.
Mm-hmm.
And so the minute I took that, like every 8 hours, and I rested,
mm-hmm.
I was feeling better. And I was taking it easy. I know what I did. I was bending down and up and down and up and down and doing different things. And I just did too much.
Oh, wow.
So I had canceled. I told Karen, I said, I canceled my appointment. I said, you know, I'm better. I've just been doing too much. But, you know, I'm watching everything. And like you say, I just needed the sleep. I needed rest.
Yes, that makes all the difference.
That's right. And I did hear Laura from this plane.
How is she doing?
She emailed me, and Laura is staying with her sister in the city.
Okay, good, good. Well, we heard from her sister.
For a while, and her sister's watching her and everything.
Okay, good.
And she said once she's over everything, she'll, you know, be in more contact with me. But, you know, what's hard on me is it's going to be a year for Raldo, February 7th,
oh,
that he died.
That's so tough.
And I'm trying to keep it together, but sometimes, you know, we're selling a lot, you know, Tracy and Michelle. Thank God for them and Karen helping me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, when I go upstairs and I help them, we go through closets, we do, and we've given, my God, I have to do receipts from my accountant and everything on how much for everything, for Goodwill.
Sure.
For AmVets, for the paralyzed veterans. I mean,
sure.
Bags and bags, which I'm so glad. I'm so glad I could give all of my stuff to help everybody.
Sure.
But it's like I'm watching my whole life, and even from when I was in the city, you know, like with Raldo, when we were dating and everything, I'm watching my whole life giving away the clothes I wore, and it just brings back so many memories. God, it was like I was just moved out here, and we were running around in the city and with my mom and shopping and going out to dinner, dancing, and my whole life.
Of course it is.
Just, I don't know, you know, it's like I'm watching my whole life. I'm donating, or,
right,
you know, we do the trash, the donate, or the keep. And I sit there and I think, what in the world happened?
Well, look, right, but look at it this way. You're making room for new memories, and you're making room for the next chapter. You know, all those things bring back all sorts of memories, and nobody's going to ever take the memories away from you. You can get rid of the items, but the memories will last a lifetime. And but at this time, almost all of what you're giving away is past tense. They're not active in your life at this moment. They're just sort of like you know, signposts of memories you have. And it's very hard, you know, one by one, when you look at something and you think back what's related to it and what a wonderful time it is. But ultimately, it's not serving you right now. And as you clear more and more, you open up the door for new memories and new experiences so that you don't live in the past. And that's the process.
I know every time, like, I read prayers, mm-hmm. or when I talk to God,
mm-hmm.
and I go on YouTube on my phone, it said, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Keep moving forward.
Right.
Keep moving forward.
Right.
And, you know, what I understand, I know new people, hopefully, along the way, another soulmate, not right away, I know. But, no, I mean, I'm doing pretty good, you know, and I know what I did wrong, so when I have groceries to put away tonight, but I'll watch everything. I'll take it easy. I have coffee.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let you know about Laura.
Yes.
And can I ask for some songs?
Sure, what do you want to hear?
How about, can I get a Tina Turner?
Okay.
And my Lou Rawls.
Oh, you always like Lou, okay.
And what? Can I have an Alan Jackson?
No.
Remember When?
I'll see what I can do.
He's a country singer.
No, I know. I got country station, so yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And can I have, I keep on forgetting the names. You know, can I have a nice Delphonics?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And who else should I? Oh, and can I also, you can do this next week because he passed on the 7th. I'd like, you know, Raldo's one of his favorite songs. You know, the From Blue Hawaii, you know, Falling in Love with You from Elvis.
Mm. So you want an Elvis
please
song.
Please, please.
Okay, and an Elvis song. All right, we'll do it.
Let's see. Was there any... I'm trying to... You know, when we went out in the clubs and we danced and danced and danced, half of the time I know the artist, but half of the time I don't remember the artist's name.
Sure.
That's the problem.
Well, I will find some nice Tina Turner for you coming up next.
And let me see. But everybody, I thank God for Michelle and Tracy and Karen, you know, the way they've been helping me.
Sure.
Just, oh my God, with Tracy, we went to the bank and we drove around. We got gas and... But,
good.
You know, I'm hanging in there with the money. And I just keep on talking to God, and I said, I know you have a special, special plan. I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to hang in there. And, you know, it's just very, very hard.
Of course
and
it is.
I'm sending blessings to Scotty and everybody.
Yeah.
And everyone, all of my blessings for everybody to be well in this. Oh, and you know, Bob Surratt and I went to the same high school, Theodore Roosevelt in the city.
Uh-huh.
But Bob was 4 years ahead of me, and I heard about this altercation with a teacher and a student. And I said, that's the high school I went to.
Sure.
And,
times have
it's
changed.
So weird.
No, times have changed. Everything, nothing stays the same. And that's another reason that it's good you're putting one foot in front of the other. You're doing the clean out, which is a good thing. But don't beat yourself up when you have those days where you're just down in the dumps and blue. It's like that. It undulates, and it's okay to feel bad from time to time. But ultimately, the big picture, you're going to move on one step at a time.
Right, right, and I've gone upstairs. I have to take it easy and stuff, but I keep moving and I
all
keep
right.
moving and stuff.
Sure, you do.
And I said I've got to call Raleigh because you're the one that kept me together too.
Well, and I'm always happy to be here for you, and I want you to check in again soon. Keep me posted.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
And I'll try to. Do you know what the show is like for tomorrow, for Thursday?
Well, I have no idea, but there's 3 hours worth of it, so don't hesitate to call.
Okay.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate it.
God
we'll talk to you then.
Everybody.
All right. So, yeah, I have absolutely no idea. And I admit I spend most of my time picking out the bumpers. And then I think, oh, God, if nobody calls, I'm going to have to talk for 3 hours. What am I talking about? And that's when I go to James Links because he gives me 382 links every few minutes. And Carol Show Prep. So we can find out what's going on in this day in history. And after all, because it is February 1st, it is National Girls and Women in Sports Day, as well as National Freedom Day. And the best news, it's the first day of Black History Month. Yeah, we always like to play lots of nice R&B. Boy, I like to do that all the time, but I'll take it as an excuse to do more of it in February. All right, so we'll get to Frank in Northlake and Sherry in Naperville. There's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
He don't.
No.
He don't.
No.
He don't love you like he said he did. Was it? He did. He would treat you the way he did. So you go on and find you somebody new so you can do the things that you used to do. Baby!
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yep, I can Tina Turner, A Fool for a Fool, 1964 on Warner Brothers. And it charted number 47 on the R&B charts. No pop action on that, but a fine record. And Buck Ram produced it. So Stacy wanted some of her Tina Turner, and now she got it. All right, yeah, it's a fine song. So 888-876-5593. Frank is in Northlake. How's it going, Frank?
Pretty good, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. Hope you heard your Hank Thompson last night.
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't. I was still out.
Oh.
You said Moving On. I thought that was Hank Snow.
Yes, I will play that tonight. What I played last night was, Here's the Clown. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Where's the Circus?
Where is the Circus? Here Comes the Clown. Yes. He was her elf. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I know most all the words in
that. Yeah, sure. So, yes, I played that, and also played I See Them by Hank Thompson. So it was a Hank Thompson twin spin.
Beautiful. Well, I'll hook it another time. A previous caller, he mentioned Al Benson.
Yes.
I remember Al Benson. He said, "This is Al Benson for the Pekin Cleaners. And listen, guys out there, you guys just remember this. You ain't been recognized till you've been Pekinized."
Yeah, right.
So take that suit to the Pekin Cleaners. And now, kiddies, more Muzak. And then he'd start playing some swags, you know.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Absolutely. He was around from the mid-40s on, and he was just terrific. And sure, the godfather of Chicago R&B, as far as that goes. Radio.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who was the other disc jockey? He was a real soft-spoken guy, and he used to say, you too, baby.
Okay.
What the heck? What was, I can't remember. I know his name, and I can't, for the life of me, remember it. It'll come along, though.
Well, there were so many wonderful Chicago jocks.
Yeah, he played nice contemporary music, jazz, like stuff you wouldn't want to hear at night.
Okay.
Similar to Ron Roland back in the... in the 50s or the 60s, early 70s.
Okay.
When he on WGN.
Do you know what station he was on?
No, no.
Yeah, because, of course, like the VON guys, that all started in the 60s, so it's not somebody from there, obviously.
He had a theme song. This guy just struck me. I'm trying to remember his theme song. And that's because a friend of mine's girlfriend, he likes to play this song, our guitar player friend of mine. And she says, don't play that when I'm here.
You know, Al Benson was on GES, and there were other, you know, I'm trying to think who else was. Richard Starnes was on, Sam's was on GES. So it could be Rick Ricardo. I'm trying to think. Of course, we know Herb Kent, but
I know his name in a minute.
Yeah.
I know you do remember it, too.
Probably. I just need a little help in you giving me more information on this. So,
yeah, the next time we call, I'm going to call my friend up and ask her what that song is that she didn't like Ronnie to play all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
On the other hand, is it true that Chuck Barris from The Gong Show wrote Palisades Park?
Absolutely, he did. He did. That's true.
Mm. Yeah, you'd never... he didn't seem like... Well, hey, nobody seems like the type of guy that could write.
Well,
you know, write music. You never know because you can't judge
not,
by cover.
Not much of a song, really. So. he did. He wrote it in 1962. And, Freddie Cannon, of course, made it a hit. But, yeah, Chuck Barris was nothing if not a promoter.
Yeah, was he Greek or Lithuanian? That's kind of Greek.
I don't know. His name was Chuck Barris. I think his middle name was Hirsch. So
B-A-R-R-I-S?
Yeah, B-A-R-R-I-S, and his middle name was H-I-R-S-C-H. And I don't know. I never really think about, you know, but I think he was Jewish.
Oh, okay.
And I think he was from Philadelphia. because I think he actually was in the ritzy part of town. He went to Lower Merion High. I remember that when I was down there. And yeah, so he was a Philly boy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, were you able to find that, the Elephant Walk, you know, that real nice
one? Oh, I played it. I played it. I absolutely. You see, you're not listening that often. Yes, Don and the Delighters. I played it for you.
Oh, Don and the what?
Don and the Delighters.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I played it for you. Well, I think what I got to do now with your requests, since I do play them all, I think you need to call John and say, I'm listening now, and then I can get them on, because I played Don and the Delighters the next night.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, okay. So that's your marching order, you know, and I'll play the Hank Snow tonight. I played a different version of My Moving On a couple nights ago. I thought you might have liked that was the Matt Lucas version, but of course you didn't hear that either. So I'll try to give you Hank Snow as our last bumper tonight. But from now on, you call John and you say, I'm listening, and then we can play them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. So we'll do that.
Okay,
all right. Well,
thanks.
You. Well, I'm moving on. I'll be coming up next right here. Don't go away.
Right.
Good deal. So we'll get to Sherry in Naperville, and I think there's room for you, too. And again, we have 3 hours tomorrow night to go through anything you want. And if I have time tomorrow, I will come up with all the Gene Chandler good stuff. And there's so much of that. That could be a lot longer than 3 hours. But we'll maybe talk about Gene. And like I say, that's dependent upon the hours I have. If only I could go to the Time Store, you know, and buy an extra Wednesday or something like that. Doesn't work out. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
That big eight-wheeler rolling down the track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back, 'cause I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. That big loud whistle as it blew and blew said, hello to the Southland, we're coming to you, and we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had the laugh on me, so I've set you free, and I'm moving on.
This obviously is not the original version. I pulled these from a computer, and it said, Hank Snow, I'm moving on, but I don't know where I got it. But I'll see if I can find the original. So we won't consider that your request as far as that goes for Frank and Northlake. We'll get the original 45 version of it, just probably not tonight. But I don't know, maybe tomorrow night that could happen. But we'll have Frank call from now on when he's available to hear his requests. All right, so Sherry is in Naperville. Welcome back to WGN Radio. All right, Sherry is no longer in Naperville. Sherry has gone to sleep. She's done the wise thing. Stephanie is in Madison. Welcome back to WGN, Stephanie.
Hey, thanks, Raleigh. I'm just calling to say hi.
Yeah.
Kind of just taking the long view. I loved hearing Randy call in from Clear Lake, Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mentioning my hubby. Anyway, yeah, I'm looking at the long view, lots of memories of Clear Lake, all the different artists that we've seen, some wonderful different artists performing over the years, including Charlie. 1 year Charlie Thomas was there, and he was great.
Oh, I'll bet.
He was. And they've had the last 2020 was the last one I was at. They didn't have a tribute in 2021 because of the pandemic, and I didn't go 2022. And beyond, so much has happened. But they've got to have a wonderful show this year. But they had really, over the years, they've had so many neat programs. And some people didn't appreciate them. Like 1 year they had a lot of like rockabilly and people like the Blasters and I love them. And when the 2020 Marty Stewart was there, and oh my God, was he good. I mean, he fit right in, you know. But I was really listening. Stacy, by the way, Stacy, my heart goes out to you. You know, I just had a birthday on Monday, and, you know, life, I'm changing. Life is changing, going in different stages, and it's kind of like the third act, you know?
Sure.
It is, and I'm looking at all this stuff that I want out of here, you know? I mean, I do. We bought a lot of stuff, lots of records, lots of T-shirts, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, it's just kind of, I'm here taking stock of myself and saying, okay, what do I have to do to kind of to live the life I want to live?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am grateful that I have my husband with me. I think it could, you know, you never, we're at the age now, I read the obits and, like, lots of people are passing on, you know?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
You can't get to a long a tooth age to not have just about everybody around you. But the problem is that after a while, we don't own things. The things we own us.
Right. And you know what? That's not a real good place to be.
Well, and it's not. But, and you know, years ago, I had a friend who had a colossal fire and lost everything. And I said, you know, one day you're going to look back on this and see what a relief this was. And he called several years later and said, I didn't understand what you meant, but you're absolutely right. And not that I'm suggesting anyone have a fire, but...
Oh, God, right.
But the deal is that probably 95% of what we've collected over the years, amalgamated, are things that are just keeping us anchored that we don't need.
Oh, exactly. And you're right about it being in the past, and it's stuff that, you know, and I make it as easy as I can now. I used to think, well, give this to this person. I donate it all, or, you know, and there's places, like we have a St. Vincent's, and they will take, like, you know, cloth scraps and things like that. They send it to a place that recycles cloth. You know, you try to...
if you can. If
yeah,
you can, but there's, you know, some things you just can't donate. Like, I finally got rid of my vacuum tubes. You know,
it's exactly.
Like, what am I going to do with vacuum tubes? You know, like that. And some of them were just beauties. When I was first driving the interstate system a zillion years ago, but before there was much of one, I collected phone books from every place I went. And I had, like, floor-to-ceiling phone books all over the place. So finally, it's just like nobody wanted them. I guess they didn't think they could recycle them, probably too moldy or whatever. But so finally, you just toss them out.
Sometimes that's the best thing you can do. I mean, we had our grandkids in here, and they, for like 2 hours, they're like dervish, like whirling dervishes. I mean, they were just like power packing. And I didn't, you know, we're not hoarding. Sometimes it's just, it's easy to just let somebody else get, you know, if they pitch it, even if it's maybe possibly something that could be used. Some, you know, it's just you get yourself too attached to your stuff and too kind of tied to the process and sometimes you need somebody from the outside,
right?
You know, and God bless Stacy. She's got these women helping her, and she's. Oh, I mean, I want to get people in here to help us because, but it, you know, it's a step. It's kind of a challenge to do that, but you know, it helps you grow. You kind of have to find the balance between pushing yourself to the edge, you know, and
The other thing is realize what most people are afraid of is they're going to give away something they wind up really wanting. You know, it's like, oh, God,
right.
I'll throw away something I really want. Well, I cull my records about every 10 years. And over the time, and believe me, I've gotten rid of thousands and thousands and thousands of records. And I think probably I can think of three cases where I wish I kept it, you know, out of thousands. And so that's not a bad ratio. And,
it's really not.
You know,
you get over it. You maybe kind of grieve it a little bit, but you get over it.
Well, I don't. You know, it's later.
Oh, yeah.
It's much later. You know, like 3 years later, I'm like, God, I shouldn't have gotten rid of that. Oh, well.
It,
you know.
Right.
And
right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But you gotta do that. And otherwise, like I say, you can go ahead and keep everything, but then your possessions own you.
Precisely. By the way, I have to ask you, I zonked out. I missed, what was the answer to the straggler trivia question?
A gay bar.
A gay bar. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. I love it, love it, love it, love it.
Yeah.
No, I just had to call up. I think you have some of the neatest callers, you know, people like, I love Scotty and Stacy from Algonquin. And there's, you know, other just really cool people. And I just love hearing you talking with them, all kinds of different people, and interacting with them. And I am so glad that you're on the air and you're in this, you and John are in this world. It's wonderful. It really is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're one of them. So if you like the callers, you're one of the people who makes the callers wonderful.
Oh, hey, thank you. I'll take that.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. You should.
Yeah. Well, listen, God bless you guys, all
right.
of you. And I am reconnecting. Trying to reconnect spiritually. You know, you go through different journeys or different experiences in your life. And I read somewhere that you almost like you become a different person every 10 years. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
But.
And it also makes sense from a biological standpoint because your cells go through reinvention as well. And who you are now is a shred of what you were before. And, you know, we talk about as we get older, that's for sure. But apart from the downside of that is that absolutely. And the only limits you put on yourself are self-imposed. So
absolutely.
So sure.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So whatever it is, get rid of it. Don't let it own you.
I agree. Oh, by the way, somebody had mentioned the song "I'm Doing Fine" by New York City.
Yes.
I think that I remember listening to an old Casey Kasem show, and I thought that he said that they were a group of accountants that got together.
No, they weren't. They absolutely no.
Claude, I love it.
That,
I love it.
But you know. Girlfriend of mine used to write that show, and Nikki Wine, and she's no longer with us. I wouldn't be surprised if she would do that. I would drop things into I wrote a show at the next building over from American Top 40. I was a soundtrack of the 60s. And I would drop things in occasionally that, you know, it's like, okay. You know?
Yep.
So,
there's a real famous thing on you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overtalk you.
No,
I'm
okay.
Sorry, but. Everybody's probably, a lot of people have heard this, where
the dog
Casey Kasem just loses it.
You don't know. Yeah, the dog. The long distance.
You don't
know the half of it. I could tell you Casey's stories till the cows come home, but my favorite was the long distance dedication where he actually damn near beat up on Nikki because someone was dedicating a song to someone in a pen pal club. And he built it to the point, well, you know, pen pal clubs, we don't know who they are, and they could be after my children and they could come to my house. But by the time it was over, his family was slaughtered. And he was just...
Give me a break.
Yeah, and it was just the funniest damn thing. And, you know, I wish I kept more outtakes because, like even John said, my favorite outtake of Murray the K, because he was my host on Soundtrack of the 60s, my favorite outtake was when I had him do liners for stations, and one of the stations was in a lovely town just south of Edmonton, Red Deer, Alberta, and it's a sizable town. But, of course, here's Murray from, you know, basically Brooklyn, New York. He's like, Red Deer? Where the is Red Deer? And then he goes on and on. This is what's happened to my career. Now I'm in Red Deer.
I love it.
Yeah, and now every time we've driven through Red Deer, John immediately says, Red Deer, we're in Red Deer. Yes, we are.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, God bless all of you. And I will be keeping people in my thoughts and prayers. Leah, you are sounding a whole lot better.
Yes, she is.
I heard her that one night. She just sounded miserable.
You're right. And you have just ended the show, so I will talk to you soon.
All right, sweetie.
Okay,
thanks.
Yes,
bye.
All right. So I think that Cherry was calling back. So call back tomorrow night. We have three. Call earlier. We have 3 hours to spend together. In the meantime, we thank Dan for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. You especially for calling. It makes my job easier, and I love every one of you who does that. I'm Raleigh James. That's a wrap. It's WGN Radio.